I greatly honor to be here tonight, and I want to thank this church, particularly Pastor Manuel. Thank you so much for this honor. Spoke with me while you received me, and I was telling you that I always come to the privilege of God Jesus in any capacity that He makes available. So thank you sincerely. Thank you. And I also appreciate the leadership of this church and all who are here gathered, all of you in the Lord bless you. Amen and amen. Are you ready for tonight? Father, give me an encounter. Give Jesus to me in a fresh way, in a new dimension. Someone is praying. Reveal Jesus to me in a way that profits my destiny. Reveal Jesus to me in a way that keeps me victorious. Reveal Jesus to me in a way that empowers me to live the victorious Christian life. Someone cry. Are you praying? Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself. Give me a revelation that will turn my ministry around. Give me a revelation of Jesus that will empower me to take dominance over principalities and powers. Give me a revelation of Jesus that will set me on fire for the rest of my life. Give me a revelation of worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb. Faithful, faithful is the Lamb. That was slain. Mighty, mighty is the Lamb. Mighty, mighty is the Lamb. Mighty, mighty is the Lamb. That was slain. Holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is the Lamb. Saints and the angels bow, everything to worship you now. Holy, 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 holy Lord. Saints and the angels bow, everything to worship you now. Thank you. We live in very turbulent times right now, not just across the nations of the earth, but even within the Christendom. There is a great confusion that is a threat to the sanctity of the Christian faith. There are various expressions of spirituality. There are various expressions of faith. And because of this, it is important that we begin to return to the foundational truth upon which the believer's confidence lies. Else, we are going to lose the whole generation to confusion. Are we together? So for me, I was very excited when I saw the theme. Now the truth is that you may have learned, you will see that shortly, there's a reason why I want you to stand. We have, as recorded right now, Pastor, about 4,000 registered religions in the world. Not less than 4,000. Registered faith practices of any kind and every kind. And every one of these faith practices is advocating superior wisdom, advocating connection to a deity, are we together? Advocating love, advocating peace, advocating territorial transformation. They have their creeds and their advocates. And until now, most of these sects and these religions, they did not have room for expression because there was no access to internet. Today, when you talk to your son about Jesus, he will tell you it depends on which one you are talking about. Because there are many who are available. Are we together now? And so there is need for a rededication of the foundational truth that make a Christian a Christian. And if we lose this, the purposes of the kingdom will be unleashed. So for me, I see this thing, Jesus, as a restorative effort by the Spirit that believers be granted a gift. Now, the truth is, from a faith standpoint, even among believers, with a deeper here and there may be differences based on revelation, but there are certain things if you do not know, you are not a Christian. There are certain things if you do not believe, you are not a Christian. There are certain things if you do not uphold, you are not a Christian. And so for me, the thing of Jesus is like, it brings together everything that represents the pillar, the anchor of the Christian faith. Do you agree with me on that? And I believe that through all of the sessions that you have enjoyed, several servants of God in worship and word have brought several perspectives. And so in praying for my session tonight, I want to just communicate and zoom down on a particular aspect of this thing. And that's going to be our discussion for tonight. I asked us to pray earlier on that God will give us an encounter that produces prophets to our Christian life. Not every encounter translates to prophets. Hallelujah. Is it alright if I ask you to pray one more time? Jesus, receive yourself to me. Something about your life will bring your power in a way that fortifies my Christian experience, in a way that brings validation to my knowing you. Please pray. A man of God is praying. A young man is praying. A young woman is praying. Someone in ministry is praying. A businessman is praying. A revelation of Jesus that translates to the prophet of my destiny, a prophet of my spiritual life. Thank you. That's what we believe, and that's what we understand. This is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. We understand. Let's all together with the people that are ready, want to read. But I hope me and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made on unto his death. One last time. That I may know thee and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made on unto. John 17:3, Jesus is praying now. John 17:3. He said, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Like I said, there are many things to know about Jesus. Time will not give us the luxury to explore everything that the believer needs to know about Jesus. But generally, for you to understand that the stability of your Christian experience, the stability of your Christian experience depends on your actual knowledge of Jesus. The stability of your Christian experience depends on your actual knowledge of the person Jesus. You can know about healing. You can know about anointing. You can know about church growth. Is that your Jesus? Let's give some grace. Let's give our big hand, shall I? God bless you. Please, Jesus. God bless you. So good to see you. How do I need your session? Have you been inside yet? Now, are we here? Praise the name of the Lord. I mean, you have some dancing and praising. The devil is in trouble today. Hallelujah. Everybody is full of fire. Amen and amen. So, the stability of your Christian experience depends on your knowledge of Jesus. Now, the truth is that you can know many important aspects of the Christian faith, like prayer, like healing, like counseling, whatever it is. But in any dimension of knowledge you have is greater than the knowledge of Jesus, you will still be limited in your work. There are many people who know about healing, nothing wrong with that. There are many people who know about prosperity. There are many people who know about breakthrough. There are many people who know about church growth. There are many people who know the dynamics of church administration. And this is a possibility. But if it is at the risk of your knowledge of Jesus, then your Christian experience will not want to be mentioned. Are we together? The Bible, the stability of the believer in this kingdom, it's not just derived from your union with church, your union with a pastor, your union with a Bible. Are we together? Your union with a Christian son. You must have a personal revelation of Jesus Christ. This becomes the anchor that provides stability. The reason why I'm saying this is because everything you know will be tested eventually. And if you do not have a personal knowledge of Jesus and a thorough one at that, eventually you will have reasons to fall by the wayside. Our world today is full of people who have been in the faith, respectfully, even in ministry, for many years. And to the shock of creation, some of them stood after 10, 20 years and said, you know what, I don't believe this thing. I've been lying to you for 10 years. I've been doing ministry, I've planted churches, advocating a man I do not know. And after 20, 30 years, they tell you I'm not interested in Jesus again. I've been walking in life. We need to be grounded and stable. Are we together? And so my focus for our teaching tonight will be the mission of Jesus. But generally speaking, to let you know that it is important we know who Jesus is as a person. Who is Jesus? When you hear the name Jesus, who is he? Because remember that he answered disciples that question. Who do men say that I am the Son of Man? Who do they say that I am? And the disciples, having walked with Jesus for a long time, they were confused themselves. They said, thank you for bringing this question, because we ourselves, we don't even know who you are. Some say you are a prophet. Some say you are Elijah being created. Some say you are this and that and that. And Jesus looked at them and said, okay, so what is your message about me? You have enjoyed proximity. You have watched me walk miracles. You watched from these grounds. What is your message? And he was shocked that those who were closest to him did not know who he was. So proximity does not automatically bring revelation. You can be in church, you can be doing church activities, and you will be surprised that you do not know who Jesus is. It was Peter who spoke and said, I know, not we know. I know who thou art. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says, Simon, my children, he says, thou art flesh and blood that some reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he says, upon this rock, this revelation, I will give my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Are we still together? So it's important for us to know who Jesus is. I don't have the time to read for you the list. The wisest way to know Jesus is to study what he said about himself. Generally, from a theological standpoint, the wisest way to know about a man is to let that man do an introduction to you about himself. Am I right on that? There are no rumors when a man talks about himself. Are we together? There's no confusion when you give someone an opportunity to introduce himself. So if you're doubting whether my name is Joshua or Selma, you ask me. That is the second way to know. What is your name? Then if I tell you, you take it from the horse's mouth. And that becomes the basis of your confidence. Are we together? So I have found in my personal work with God that the greatest way to learn Jesus is to study everything he said about himself. And there are 12 things, 12 expressions, and we may not have the time there, running through the Gospels down to Revelation that Jesus said about himself. Because I'm passing this introduction, I'll just introduce one. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell me this. The Son of God. One more time. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Son of God. John 20 and verse 31. So Jesus is the Son of God. Among the many designations that are connected to his name and his personhood is that he is the Son of God. In fact, when we back up to verse 30, John 20, 30 says, many other miracles did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. The next verse says, for these are written, that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing, you will have life through his name. Are we together? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But that's not the only thing he said about himself. Let me tell you a few things he said. You may not write, just listen for your learning. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and life by himself. He called himself the door. He called himself, what else did he say about himself? The life of the world, in fact. He said that about himself. I want you to hear that. He called himself the resurrection and the life. There are seven of them that he said in the gospel, and you find others in the Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. These are things he said about himself. So in learning Jesus, you delete that anti-divination and focus on what Jesus has to say about himself. Are we together? Because the Bible tells us in revealing Jesus that when he revealed himself, he was full of grace and peace. So we trust everything he said about himself. Are we learning that? The average believer needs to understand who Jesus said he was and who he is. Because for every definition of his personhood, there will be the relevance of it in your life. For instance, if Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and life, he's not just saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. It is a pathway to knowing God. It starts with the way. Then the way leads you to the truth. The truth there being reality, not just an information. And at the end of it is that you find life. So the goal is life, but it does not start as life. It starts by you finding the way out of every confusion, then it brings you to the truth. And then eventually, you walk in the reality of life. Are we together? This is very important. If you know Jesus as the resurrection and the life, then it is possible to enjoy divine healing. When you are praying for someone whose organ is damaged, there is a revelation of Jesus that sponsors that confidence. You are not just anointing conscious. You are calling in the name of the resurrection and the life. That even though he is dead, he can be made alive. Are we together now? When Jesus calls himself the door, it means there is a way out of everything. A door is an access point that connects anywhere and anywhere. The rooms in your house are separated by doors. That means if I find myself in any kind of confusion in life and destiny, there is Jesus the door that becomes in his wisdom to show me a way. That revelation can set you up as a leader, set you up as a corporate person to do exploits in the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the vine. That means we are called to the ministry of fruitfulness. I am the vine and ye are the branches. That means John 15, that every branch that abides in me bears fruit. That means my life should be fruitful because I'm connected to him. He is the vine. I am the branch. What is the branch in agriculture? The fruit bearing plant of the vine. Are we learning now? But like I said, my focus is not on the first rule of Jesus. I'm sure that you may have had teachings along that line. Let's discuss his mission. What was his mission? Why did Jesus come to the earth? As the Son of God, why did he have to become a man to walk through the earth for 3.5 years? Why did he have to do that? You know, for many years I studied salvation and redemption. And have been intrigued as to why God, as mighty as he is, did not cast him out of man. The all-powerful God, you would think that he had the power and authority and he would speak to every man. As powerful as God is, his strategy for redeeming man was not casting sin out of man. He had to come, become a man, he died, even the death of the cross, the Bible tells us. Are we together? Yes. What was his mission? There are other things to study to, like the use of sin. Do you know, many believers are weak in their confusion because they are not yet sure that Jesus actually succeeded in his assignment. The proof that he succeeded was the resurrection and his enthronement. And Paul said that I may know him. Now you understand what he said? Not just to know his presence, but there is more to know the power of his resurrection. There is something about his resurrection and the victory, the implication that if he rose, I can rise. Not just in the street by and by, I can rise from any confusion, I can rise from any limitation, I can rise from any kind of limitation that has come with my background. You believe this now? Amen. Write this, please. Jesus came to the world for three principal assignments. His mission is threefold, essentially, and it's important for every believer to know and understand this. That Jesus' coming was threefold. The coming of Jesus as Messiah was for a threefold assignment. Are you ready? Number one, the first assignment of Jesus' coming to the earth was to be an accurate revelation and manifestation of the misunderstood God. His first assignment on earth was not just to die. No. His first assignment was to come as a correction of our understanding about God. Because until Jesus manifested, there
were a plethora of confusion as to who God was. I want you to know that before Jesus came and gave us life, there was no possibility for a personal walk with God, as we call it. He called individuals and showed them bits and pieces of himself for the sake of the revelation to those they led. But nobody had the privilege through the Spirit of intimacy, intimacy with God. Until Jesus came, the nation of Israel and all the people in the dead world had to depend on the revelation of priests and prophets. Whatever they told them God was, that's what they believed. Are we showing now? And I want you to know that the prophets and the priests were men, and they too were limited in their understanding of God. So when you read the Old Testament, you will see many controversial expressions of God. This is what Jesus is doing correct. There are many statements about God that came from the lips of prophets, that came from the lips of priests, that were a limitation to their own understanding about God. So, the practice in those days, the dead world, and the thin line between the practice of extra-biblical practices like witchcraft and other kinds of things, it was very close to the practice of the faith. And so you will find prophets intertwined between the practice of divination altogether and then an encounter with authentic God. And their revelation came out of their limitations about God. So there were things they said about God that we have a right to throw today using the reference of Jesus. For instance, you will read in the Bible that a lying spirit came out of the Lord. You see that now? That is inconsistent with the character of God as revealed in Jesus. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. He came as a validation to the fact that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. We do not find that in Jesus. That means something was wrong with the revelation that the prophet gave. Are we together? Because if you use the lens of the prophet and the priest alone to know God, you will not know him accurately. There were many things that they said, sincerely so, that have deviated many people. It does not give a picture of a God who is consistent. The fascinations of the prophets became a wrong vista for learning God. So you find out that when you read the Bible without the assistance of Jesus being revealed, there are many troubles you have in your heart. You may not have the courage to ask it because you don't want to sin against God. Like many believers have kept this thing. You mean God does this? But when Jesus came, he came as a validation to the claims of God. He came as a matching script so that we will correct everything he had told us about God. So when whatever the Bible says God is, we have the right to prove it until we find it in the life of Jesus. It's not a learning now. For instance, the Bible says the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love. Alright? Let's go to Jesus. Did we see him demonstrating that quality? Because he came as God incarnate. Based on that scripture, we know that that scripture is correct. That expression is correct. Are we together? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with my loving kindness I have drawn you. We have the right to doubt God's love, especially in light of our Lord. Let's go to Jesus. Do we see the love of God revealed in Jesus? The woman at the well, the madman in Gadara, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom. So, based on the revelation of Jesus, we can say it is true that God is love. Are we together? The Bible says, God is the only wise God. Do we see his wisdom displayed in Jesus? They brought a woman who was caught in adultery, the Bible says, in the very act of it. The goal was not to reveal their adultery, it was to track Jesus down. And they said, now, tell us, you claim to be a prophet. You can't find the other prophet. This woman was caught in the very act. And Jesus kept quiet. And he kept writing. And he said, whoever the Son has seen among you should cast the first stone. Wisdom. The wisdom of God made manifest. Are we learning now? The Bible tells us all power belongs to God. Alright? Let's go to Jesus. Do we see a display of power What manner of man is he that even the winds and the waves obey him? Lazarus, come forth. Do you not see the manifestations of power? So the first assignment of Jesus, I hope we're still together, that he came as a correction to our understanding of the misunderstood God. You will never truly know God till you study Jesus. You will never truly know God until you study Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1. Please give us from verse 1 to 3. I hope somebody is learning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, who in sundry times, the Bible says, and in diverse manners, and you see how he spake to us? He spake unto the fathers how? By the prophets. Next verse. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his tongue, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Verse 3. The Bible says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So he came as God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, carrying mortal flesh, walking with us. Everything that God is, Jesus manifested in his temple. So everything that was not captured in the ministry of Jesus and has now been credited to God, we have a right to check it carefully, because revelation is progressing. Paul helped us with that understanding in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, we see in parts and we prophesy in parts. Even if you are a prophet, even if you are a priest, we see in parts. I imagine right now that if Isaiah were to come alive again, if Jeremiah were to come alive again, in light of the abundant realities that the life of Jesus has provided, many of them will weep and say, my God, I am so sorry. I credited this and that to God, not knowing that it was just my mind or my limitations. You stand the risk of a confusing Christian life till you limit your walk to be modeled after Christ. Did you get that? If you model your life just after a man of God, you will be disappointed eventually. If you model your life just after a church, you will be disappointed eventually. That is the truth. If you model your life just after any other thing aside from Christ, you will find death eventually. Because Jesus came as the perfect reflection of the Father. While there are models that you can learn from, you only follow men to the degree to which they follow Christ. It's not a learning now. This is very powerful. So Jesus came as an accurate revelation of the misunderstood God. He will teach you how to serve God in an effective way. He will teach you how to know God in an effective way. Why do we pray? Not just because of the blessings of prayer. Jesus prayed, and he said, as my Father sent me, so I sent. Jesus prayed, Jesus loved, Jesus rested. Why is it that we don't point accusing Jesus at people when they cry and say you don't have him? Because there is a scripture that gives you consolation. John 11:35. Jesus prayed. It is not all spiritual to you. There are times that men and women can be overwhelmed. Are we together now? So the second assignment of Jesus very quickly, what brought him to the earth? To reconcile men back to God. To reconcile men back to God and make the life of God accessible to men. To reconcile men back to God. This is powerful. And in addition to that reconciliation, to make the life of God available and accessible to men. This is the second mission. What is called eternal life, the Zoe life, everlasting life. He came to bring reconciliation between men and God. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 10, please. Let's look at a few scriptures. The Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He came as a priest to reconcile us to God. 2 Corinthians Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 14 to 16. Then we'll look at 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19. Ephesians chapter 2. For he is our peace. Let someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For he is our peace. Who has made both one and has broken the middle wall of partition between us to see, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of one new man, making peace. Verse 16. The Bible says that he has reconciled both the Jews and the Gentiles unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The ministry of reconciliation. Let's try 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All things are of God. Read with me. Verse 18, and I finish writing myself. Ready? 1, 2, 3. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us. Verse 19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ. Who was in Christ? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The second assignment of Jesus. He came to reconcile them. Do you know this is the gospel? The gospel is not about pointing to many their limitations. The gospel is letting them know that what they could not do for themselves, the mercy of God has come within their reach. Are we together? It's important every believer understands what the gospel is. In fact, give us 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 reads, moreover, don't forget this. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. If you're a man of God here, please, with all due respect, pay attention to this. If you do not know this, you are not in ministry. The gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, help me, and wherein is that? What is the gospel? Verse 2. It says, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 3. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What did that mean? How that Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. Verse 4, he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. This is the basis of that reconciliation. That the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that the soul that sinned it shall die. In the law, is part of God's justice system. But that God said, I do not desire that any man should perish. And to honor that desire, he sent Jesus who came and brought the entire creation in covenant with him and died the death. I want you to know that everything Jesus received at resurrection, he always had as God, as God. But the only problem is that he had it alone. He wanted it to be a part of it. So he relinquished everything. It's like someone having a PhD alone, but now wanting you to also have that PhD with him. So he relinquishes the PhD and he goes to start nursery class again. By the time he's about to get PhD, he enters a covenant with you. So that as they are presenting to him, you are seeing a PhD and you are saying, where did this come from? That is the gift of God. Do you understand this now? Jesus came to reconcile us. And the Bible says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. It is impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to accept the life of God if you do not have peace with God. John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. But salvation, therefore, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. My life changed when the Spirit of God asked me to change the name I call sinners. I don't call sinners sinners, I call them the harvest. The moment you call sinners sinners, what you feel towards them is resentment, not compassion. Immediately it puts you in a state of self-righteousness. All you see is their limitations, but when you call them the harvest, immediately you become one of the laborers and you are conscious of your seeker. Guess what Jesus said? Truly the harvest is plentiful. There needs to be a rejuvenation to our perception of the dying world. That when you see a gentleman who cannot help himself, a young lady who cannot help themselves, for as long as what you are seeing is a sinner, you will stand with self-righteousness and pity them. But the moment you see them as sheep without a shepherd, the moment you see them as a harvest, you now begin to think like Jesus. Jesus stood and went over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you had known in this thy time the things that pertain unto your peace." He said, "From now they are hidden from you." It literally changed my outlook about people. When I see people in limitation and decadence, the first thing that happens is compassion. How do I reach out to these people? There is a new and a living way. There is a way out of this for a family, for an individual. That way you become like Jesus. The harvest. The harvest. Mama, when you look at your stubborn child as the harvest, it will not be anger again. It will be the compassion of Jesus to a mother. How do I see that my son is saved in my lifetime? If you look at your classmates who are in decadence as the harvest, the ministry of condemnation does not produce profit. It is proven in scripture, it will prove it through history. When you see people as the harvest, you don't tolerate licentiousness, but it helps you know that every sinner is that way because they could not help themselves. The ministry of reconciliation. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. He met the woman at the well. The Bible says she had five husbands, and the one currently with her, just from finding there, was not even a husband. And Jesus came to her, and as he began to talk, "Madam, give me water." And she said, "Who are you? Are you a stranger? What is all this water?" And then when they began to talk, the woman passed, she was a prophet, and she started asking him questions of worship. At the end of that discussion, you know what happened? The Bible says, "Our priority, she said immediately." She left the fetters, she left everything, and ran and called people and said, "Come see a man that told me everything." The man came because our witness was compelling. Jesus did not come to the world just to show man how sinful man was. He came as a living way to say, no matter how stained, how rotten you are, I have been sent to demonstrate the love of Jesus. This is powerful. I tell you why our missions are not effective. Because we are about sinners, not harvest. So we stand as self-righteous people. This stubborn son, I hear you are not, you better repent. And we say that from a standpoint as though we have the power to save ourselves. Let me tell you one truth. Everyone is a product of God's mercy and grace. Never forget it. He said, "In iniquity did my mother conceive me." When you have that implant compassion, the reason why we forget to make altar calls is not forgetfulness, it's lack of revelation. There is no passion that sponsors it. It was never supposed to be mechanical. It was supposed to be as a result of the abundant realization that is not reached out to me. How can I end a service without giving another person an opportunity to enjoy that reconciliation that I have? You cannot tell me to go and give souls mechanically. you give them the revelation of the love of Jesus as expressed in the substitutionary sacrifice. When you fully understand that, they will never watch Jesus move around or the harvest, as we call it, the world of unbelievers. You are looking for an opportunity to tell Jesus to them. Are we ready? Jesus came to reconcile the world. Look at me. Is there anyone on earth today that is beyond the reach of God's mercy and love? No. But I hope you know there are people, because of the way they are punished. You want as a punishment that they never see. If you ever see them in church, you say, God, how did Jesus find his way to church? No way. And it's even Baba Devo is this preaching. My God, that means this man is going to be saved. How does this enemy of mine, this Paul, you are in church? The woman at the well, you are in church. What are you doing in church? And then the altar call comes and they come. And you are watching the hands of Jesus. And he still stretched towards them. And he says, Jesus, you are chosen. Even this one, this is how far we can go. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Let me tell you, before Jesus returns back, we are going to see a kind of harvest, a spectacular manifestation of harvest. Are we clear? Oh, yes. Help that gentleman over there, please. A harvest. Some of the people we thought God will never reach, you will be surprised to see that they will become the martyrs of the gospel before he returns. Ah, be careful when you judge the woman who was once a harlot, because Jesus is still interested in her. Be careful when you judge the madman in Gadara, there is still an evangelist in that man. Be careful when you see Paul receiving letters and bringing threats against the church. There are many evangelists today who are in their palace. There are many evangelists today roaming around, but they are depending on the weakness of Christ towards God. I can tell you this, before Jesus returns, you will see a harvest that will surprise you. That in the lifetime of many people today who were captives of the persecution of the church, that kind of grace that came upon Paul, Saul and turned into Paul, is still on earth. The Spirit of God is still teaching men. There are many people today who think they are not saved, but it's not because they are afraid of what will happen. Unbelievers from other faiths, secretly, like Nicodemus, they are busy discussing with Jesus. They are already once helped in the kingdom. By this teaching, if you are here and God has given you the burden for prophetic intercession, the first assignment of intercession is to pray for the Lord of the harvest, not to pray for things. The intercessory ministry is connected to one mission, not just acquisition of things. It says the harvest is one, but the laborers are few. Your prayer request as an intercessor is to pray for laborers. Can I tell you, until you are about the ministry of reconciliation, pray for anointing will be a waste. The purpose of the anointing is to help you to be empowered to produce enough witness. Give us Acts chapter 4, please, and verse 33. Is God speaking to someone tonight? There are many people who are praying for anointing and empowerment. There is no need to pray for it if your heart is not connected to the gospel. And the great power gave the apostles witness of what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. I will tell you why you see men like our father, Baba, very powerful. It is because of their hearts. Their hearts for the lost. Their hearts for missions. So whatever grace needs to be invested upon their lives to make that harvest possible. You want to see power? Don't just pray and fast because you want the name. Connect your desire to the harvest and you will see a move of the Spirit in your life in a way you have never seen. I know what I'm saying.
sing that for me, please.
I stand out in the nations. Oh, that's the cry of my heart. It's the shores and the islands. Your light as it rises on us. I stand out in the nations. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands. Your light as it rises on us. Oh Lord, we ask for the nations. All of the confusions in the world of the country is our focus on ourselves and our choices to the work of the nations. We can argue all we can among ourselves. It has no proof in the kingdom until we take our gaze away from our reputation and focus on this reconciliatory ministry. You see that now? Lord, I pray for power so that souls will be saved. I'm trusting you to make the kingdom build here because I want to see that the saints are held on in them. We have a conference coming up in the US next month and in Canada. And I can tell you, these are multi-million conferences. That is the price of winning the lost. So there are people praying for money. Oh God, you even draw money like a bribe, and God says, I'm not stupid. If your heart is not connected to missions, you are wasting your time. You really know what I'm saying? This is the correct understanding of prosperity, that you connect the desire to prosper primarily to the work of the kingdom. You don't need so much to be comfortable, but where it has to do with lifting the name of Jesus. I told you the name of Jesus is here. It takes resources to raise his life. Why do you desire the anointing? I have colleagues that they are all anointed. Let them not take my fasting and prayer to you, say that goes in so many problems. If you like this 40 days, it's not for you, say you say. But that you are saying, Lord, I need to give witness to the gospel. It is important that men see the evidence that Jesus says that he heals, that he delivers. And this is the promise upon which I speak the investment of the Spirit upon my life. And God will put something upon your life that the nations will thank God. Hallelujah. Somebody like him. This is why Jesus came. Remember again, reason number one, he came as a correction of our perception about the unknown God. As opposed to us by prophets and priests who knew God in times and shadows, he now came as an accurate revelation of God. Number two, he came to give us access to the life of God by reconciling us to God. By reconciling us to God. And he's able to say to the uttermost, he said, for this promise is unto you, Acts chapter 2, and to your children, to your children's children. Can I tell you the truth? You may not have the privilege to do evangelism at a global scale like Baba Demoye or like Renard Comte of Blessed Memory, but in your lifetime, somebody close to you should experience the healing power, should experience the mercy of Jesus, the grace that comes with knowing Jesus. There is a narrative about evangelism and faith that God will correct in our lives before he returns. Our assignment is not to mobilize people and step back and one evangelist comes on stage. You will really every evangelist available. There are 8 billion people and counting on earth, and Christianity has recorded now, generally speaking, statistically speaking, only has about 2.6 billion people. Ladies and gentlemen, we are saying Jesus is returning soon, and we've not done a good job in covering that ground. You know why? The laborers are few. Sometimes we have worshipped the laborer and burdened them. I just returned from Lagos Street to come here, and tomorrow I'm back again. Thank God for the efficiency. But Joshua Salman alone cannot get God's program done. That's the reason why God is using conferences like this to reveal Jesus and to recruit more people to say there's no space. Don't say there are too many men of God. There are too many churches. The harvest is why. And the laborers. God is using the laborers and people. The laborers and people. I will tell you the reason why when there's trouble on one person in the body affects everyone, because there are two people and if Satan strikes one person, there needs to be so many people. You also eat the body of the few. Celebrity Christianity was not God's part of God's home. Everyone was designed by God to be a manifestation of the glory of God. I can tell you why many men of God are bonded now. They are doing their assignments and the assignments of other careless people who are not yet manifested. So they are rewinding the project of others before they go through that training and stand on their place. As I travel, I get so tired, and as I rest my head while traveling, I'm thinking to myself, what is all this about? That you spend your life and you are spent for the day. Is it looking for a name? I cannot choose how we make a name. Technology has afforded an opportunity to be global when you are involved. Is it really about a name? Is it really about fame? Then I remember that there is a cry in the heart of the man. I remember that Jesus came and spent his life until he died, and that if he could do that for me, then I can spend my life serving his purposes. For me to do this Christ, honestly, it's not a scripture. And if I die in the process, it's with joy and pain. Because I have created this life and I have secured my place with God. You see, the reason why people are not saved is because of what we are preaching. There is a context that leads to salvation. And with that context, it is not every part, not everything you believe about Jesus that translates to salvation. If you believe in Jesus as a prophet, that is true, but that is not what is connected to salvation. There is an exact body of knowledge. Are we together? I won't forget the challenge. Church is quiet. It's a solemn assembly. It's the word entering your spirit. Number three. The third reason why Jesus walked upon the earth was as a model of God's expectation for man. Write this down. So in addition to coming to correct our understanding, in addition to bringing reconciliation and granting us access to the life of God, the third reason, and this one concerns you now, the third reason why Jesus came as a pattern man, as a model of God's expectation for the believer. That means this is what God expects for the Christian, both in terms of the strength of weakness and the display of your godly character. Jesus is that model. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, he calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. Come together. Jesus came as a pattern man. What is a pattern? The model by which he goes for reproduction. I will share that now. So if I want to reproduce the champion's cathedral, all I need to do, I don't have to tie this building on my head and take it down to Abuja. All I need to do is to meet Pastor and say, can you grant me access to the architect or the plan? If I have the architectural the architectural record of this building, I can reproduce this building so verbatim that if you were blinded and taken to Abuja, you would think you are still there. That's the power of patterns. He came as a pattern man to show us how to live victoriously, to show us how to live profitably, how to do ministry in a way that wins. Are we together now? So the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, he calls him the author, the finisher of our faith. Jesus came as a revelation of God's expectation for man. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Indeed it was. John 14 and verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. There is an implication to believing in Jesus, that the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Do you believe that? The Bible tells us, we read it earlier in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 18 and 19, that we were given the ministry of reconciliation and we were given the word of reconciliation, verse 19. That means God has an expectation that in knowing Jesus, you know who you are. You get that? In knowing Jesus and in learning Jesus, you will know who you are. It is impossible to know your true identity and your life's purpose until you know Jesus, because He came as a pattern man. You want to find a pattern for effective evangelism? Look at Jesus. Effective leadership? Look at Jesus. Are we together now? Effective witness? Look at Jesus. How to transform men? Look at Jesus. There were many other people who transformed people in the Bible, but the most accurate pattern for salvation, for redemption, for healing, the most accurate pattern for dealing with government is Jesus. One time they came and met him and they wanted to embarrass him. And they said, "You claim to be a preacher of righteousness and you are still going in your taxes." He showed us how to respond to powers that be. He said, "Don't argue. Give to Caesar. There are things that belong to Caesar. So while you are preaching the gospel, make sure you have Caesar's coin because you come for it. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God." That is a pattern for being a peacemaker on earth. To give what belongs to Caesar, give to him, and then give that which belongs to God. Are we together? A model for effective living. If your life and my life continues to be ineffective, it's because we have not understood the mission of Jesus. Let me say this before we pray. When you encounter Jesus, among the many blessings that you receive, this is carefully this. There are four of them principally that follow your encounter with Jesus. Number one, the first blessing that comes to the believer upon encountering Jesus, the Son of the Living God, is access to eternal life. We call it salvation from sin. But in addition to salvation from sin, you receive the life of God. Write that down, please. The first blessing that comes upon every believer upon encountering Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, is that you have access to the way, the life of God. You are not just free from sin. You are not just forgiven of your sin. Are we together now? Yes. Because you see, sin is a major problem, but it was not the only problem that brought Jesus to save man. If sin went away and we did not have the life of God, we are still in sin. The sin problem was a major problem to be dealt with, but there were other things. The grave, death, Satan. Before sin came, Satan was already there. Are we together now? So he came to do a thorough job, not just to forgive us of sin, but to upgrade us. The Bible says that, that we've been exalted, seated with Christ in Jesus. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you receive salvation. But in addition to that, you receive the life of God. Everyone say the life of God. Shout it one more time, say the life of God. The life of God is beyond life after death. It's victory and dominion over death.
Are we together?
The life of God is not what you receive or what is manifested after you die.
No.
The word eternal life is not a very accurate expression in defining that kind of life. Because in truth, everyone has eternal life. There are people who died without Christ. They are not living in the body, but they are still alive. As revealed in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Sensation of living does not stop. Whether you are with Jesus or you are with Satan, when we preach to people, we tell them where they want to spend eternity. Not with you. You will. The problem is location. Are we together now?
Yes,
so what Jesus came to give us is not the ability to live after now. All men have it. It is the reason why when men are judged, they will still be alive and be gathered together. What he came to give us was a quality of life. Life indestructible. God's very life, not the kind, the very life of God. The very life of God is what he gave us. Not the kind of life. His very life. That's what he gave us. Do you believe that? It's a life of victory, indomitable, unquestionable dominion that comes on account of that life. Many believers have been saved, but they do not understand what they receive. So the riches that is invested in that life cannot find expression. No wonder the Bible says an heir for as long as he is a child, that he differs not from his state, even though he is not a fool. There are many believers who forgot to have received the life of God. They have confessed the Lordship of Jesus, but our lives are still weak and beggarly. We do not bring credence to the beauty of Christ to our lives. We are still victims of elemental forces, victims of the things that tie on believers. The difference is seldom clear. The reason is because we do not have an understanding of the kind and the quality of life that he gave us. Hallelujah. He gave us more than forgiveness of sin. He gave us life, life victorious, life indestructible, my God, that no matter how weak and limited I am, upon confessing Jesus, that the few people will be doing shortly after now, that you come as straight as you are, and in that moment of confession, a miracle is happening in the realm of the spirit. You may not feel it, you may not look like it, but there is a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In addition to that, there is an imputation of the life of God. It's not just the righteousness you receive, the life of God. Now, whether or not you will be able to manifest the riches of that life, that is knowledge dependent. That is the reason why the Bible says that God desires that all men stay there to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because the riches of the life of God we have received is activated and expressed in the presence of light. Are we ready? When you encounter Jesus Christ, you receive the life of God. Number two, when you encounter Jesus Christ, the second blessing that you receive is called Jesus. It sounds very simple. For some, it sounds very heavy. It's not charismatic. But when you grow old enough and then like this, you will know the value of peace. There are people who will give up their estates and their businesses for peace. In my definition and my estimation, the highest definition of success is peace, not progress. I will choose peace 1,000 times to progress. When people die, we do not say rest in progress, rest in peace. Even at death, they desire peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, please. And the peace of God, someone say the peace of God.
The peace of God.
There is such a thing as the peace of God, the one he is. He said, which passes all understanding, it shall keep your hearts and mind. How? Through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what peace is. The ability to be unperturbed, unshaken by life and situations. The believer is such a superior breed, you can sit in the midst of fire and say, glory be to God. And people do not understand your confidence. Are you aware that tomorrow you are going to say that you cannot pay the rent? I will do my best for glory be to God. He makes me to lie down to see what has. What kind of a person are you? Don't you care? Are you not worried? Maybe you may die as you travel. For me to live in Christ. And I will continue to engage the principles that make your life. But even if I die, it is a great thing to have to fear. Most people today, do you know why medical machines cannot diagnose certain diseases? Because they are spiritual. The Bible says a broken spirit can try the bones. That means the broken can be from the realm of the spirit and it will appear in your health. And you sit under a machine, you cannot tell why you are sick. Because your life, you lack it. There are drugs today that try to replace the broken spirit. And medicine is really expensive, but it just cannot give you peace. Someone say peace. Our world is full of trouble. All you need to do is switch on your television in the morning. Nigeria, we need peace. Say amen. That your child cannot leave in the morning and you are not sure whether they will return back. And your aunt is palpitating as a parent. Lord, my child for me. Let him come back. First, let him come back home. Then number two, let him come back still a Christian. Say peace. Let me tell you, there are too many problems in this life that will spread your heart to pieces if you do not embrace the peace of God. For someone who came to church here with so much problems, it used to be that his people in their 50s would have high blood pressure. Right now, teenagers are having high blood pressure because of worry about tomorrow, worry about so many things. The Bible says, which of you by worry can add a cubit? Somebody say, myself. Find peace. Say it again, say myself. Find peace. There's a right issue for trying peace. I will survive it. He made me to walk. Listen, let me tell you, God can cause a man to walk in his high places. Businessmen find peace. I know that it looks like your business is going down. There are people who collapse after COVID till today, they have not recovered. Peace is therapeutic. It's not just spiritual, it is therapeutic. You do ministry without peace, you will depress yourself to death. Someone say peace. Number three. The third blessing we receive on account of salvation is joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Acts chapter 8, 5 to 7. That's right. Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. The Bible says that people with one accord gave heed to those things which he was saying, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsies and were lame were healed. Verse 8, the Bible says, and there was joy. There was not just healing, there was not just salvation, there was joy in that city. Psalm 51, verse 12, there was joy in that city. It says, restore unto me the sanity of time, the joy of my salvation. Your salvation to me comes with joy. You can receive the salvation and reject the joy. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Have you
heard?
The joy of thy salvation. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Many of you know the scripture, but you don't know where it is found. Here it is. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord can be a strength to an individual. That in this world of sadness and turbulence, the revelation of Jesus and the blessings of that revelation can bring joy. Joy is different from happiness like you have learned. Happiness is circumstantial. You are happy after a promotion. You are happy when you make progress. But joy is a spiritual affair. An unbeliever cannot really have joy. We mistake it. But joy is always of the Lord. Joy is always of the Spirit. I was saying that now. That you find yourself rejoicing Rejoice in the Lord. Not in your situation, good or bad. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, someone say rejoice. Not the name of the person, what God wants you to be and do. Rejoice. 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 It is hard work. You get up in the morning and you say, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. I'm happy that Jehovah Jesus is here. I'm sure after I'm done, he's going to come and shake that mess up of everybody here. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, that you will rejoice in the Lord until you remind the devil that when Jesus died and said, it is finished, he meant it. The victory of Christ is true, is real, and it is time. The Bible says, rejoice shall we draw from the wells of salvation. Rejoice shall we draw from the wells of salvation. Let me minister to you. Remain joyful. Regardless of what happens to your life, remain joyful. I've made up my mind as a choice that you will not find me in gloominess. And no. Rejoice in the Lord. The final blessing. Number one, eternal life. Number two, peace. Number three, joy. Number four, purpose and meaning. The fourth blessing you receive when you encounter Jesus, in addition to eternal life, in addition to joy, in addition to peace, is purpose. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It was on account of their encounter with Jesus, a man which was given to them. If they did not encounter Jesus, they would remain fishers of men, or tax collectors, or several kinds of people. Their encounter with Jesus culminated to a mandate, a nobler reason for their living, for you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, on account of your encounter with me. You shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. There is no man I know who encountered the God of the Bible and a mandate was not derived out of that encounter. If you were Moses and you encountered the God of the Bible, you suddenly became a believer out of that encounter. If you were Gideon and you encountered God, that warrior deliverer part of you will rise. Are we together now? Everyone who encountered God genuinely, among the many blessings they received, there was a mandate that came out of it. Most people are trying to discover purpose and meaning outside of Jesus. That means they push Jesus out and they say, I need to know why I was born. No. The Bible says, know why I come. In the volume of the book, Hebrews 10:7, as it is written of me to do your will. Purpose starts with your connection with Jesus. You can do other ambitious things outside of Jesus, but genuine purpose and meaning that stands both in time and eternity starts with your encounter with Jesus Christ. If I did not encounter Jesus, I would not be in ministry. Only God knows what else I would have been doing with my life. Perhaps I would have been there with the kind of background I came from. Quickly. Many of you here, God has saved you, gave you a revelation of Jesus. But among the many blessings you receive, that some of you are not acting out, is that there is a mandate. Everybody say a mandate. There is a mandate upon your life and your destiny. And that mandate is beyond pulpit ministry. Don't limit the terms of the kingdom to just being a preacher, an apostle, a prophet, and all of that. If you do so, there will not be enough space for everybody. Because the Bible says he gave some, but there is something he gave all. He gave everybody a mandate. Out of that all, there were some who were called to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Are we together? You may not be called into the fivefold ministry, but some of you are kingdom financiers, merchants of the gospel within the marketplace. That is a mandate that came out of your encounter. Run with it with diligence. Some of you are called into prophetic ministry. Run with it with diligence. Some of you are called into leadership. Leadership at a global scale. It doesn't matter what the mandate is. If it came out of that encounter, it is the blessing of meeting Jesus. And there is a role that that mandate has to play in God's program overall. Abu Sayyidah was ready to pray. Jesus, the Son of the Living God. He came and walked upon the earth for this threefold mission. And he did it so well. We are the fruit of the excellency of that mission. We are proof he did not fail. He brought many sons to glory. Now the nations are waiting for the revelation of that same Jesus through our lives. Jesus has gone to be with the Father today, seated at the right hand of God, but we are extensions of Him, extensions of His possibility. And let me tell you the truth, the nation, the harvest, the global harvest, is at the mercy of the efficiency of our weakness. If our weakness is poor and lame, then many people will not come to the living knowledge of that Jesus. There are two things we are going to do right now. Number one is we are going to pray. I want us to rededicate our lives corporately onto the program of God afresh. It's not enough to know about Jesus. I want you to make a renewed covenant with your life and destiny. No more empty living. No more profitless living. No more useless living. It is not enough to know about Jesus. I have found my place and my mandate by knowing Him, by encountering Him. Someone bow your head in prayer. Let it be from the depths of your heart. There is a mandate upon your life. By reason of your encounter with Jesus, it is not enough to know Him. It depends on your weakness for the nations to know Him. Someone is praying. Let an apostle rise from this conference. A prophet rise from this conference. An evangelist rise from this conference. A pastor rise from this conference. A teacher rise from this conference. A worshiper rise from this conference. An entrepreneur rise from this conference. God is depending on you and I. God is depending on you and I. God is depending on your weakness. Go ahead and pray. I rededicate my life again. Go ahead and pray. I rededicate my days again. I have spent 30 years of my life starving the flesh, 30 years of my life starving profitless systems. But for the rest of my life, I want to be a witness to this Jesus, a witness to this Savior, a witness to this healer, a witness to this deliverer, a witness to this leader, a witness to this advocate. He did everything for you. Please pray. It is not enough to know Him. You must accept the responsibility, the mandate that comes. The peace, listen, the life that you receive is for you. The peace that you receive is for you. The joy that you receive is for you. But the assignment that you receive is not for you. It is for the nation. Keep the life you have received. Keep the peace you have received. Keep the joy you have received. But don't keep your mandate to yourself. Your mandate is to the nation. Your mandate is to the nation. Take a minute and rededicate your life again. Whether you are a student on campus, you are a career person, you are a preacher, you are a captain of industry, an entrepreneur, make a covenant with your destiny that my life, my song, my message, my resources will be profitable and advanced in the name of Jesus. Advance in the name of Jesus. Advance in the name of Jesus. That the nations will know Him. That they too may be saved. Europe, knowing Jesus. America, knowing Jesus. Australia, knowing Jesus. For it does not say, every part of this day, knowing Jesus, the south, the southeast, the southwest, the middle belt, the northeast, the northwest, knowing Jesus, until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth as water as the sea. You are in this place and from the start of the conference, speaker after speaker, worshiper after worshiper, whilst you have people mounting this stage and revealing different dimensions of their understanding about Jesus. Perhaps you came here today in this auditorium and all the expressions are produced for you online, and you are saying, Apostle, on hearing you teach, I can say for certainty that I've not met this Jesus. Not the one you just talked about. Maybe I met another one. Not the Son of Man. Not the Savior. Not the healer. Maybe I met a cruel person somewhere who told the Jesus for me that I'm finding out now is not the one who died. I want the one who died for me. I want the one who loved me enough to give himself for me. And for those who are saying, I have encountered this Jesus, but I have delayed. I cannot say I have a functional relationship with that Jesus. I want to count one to five. Wherever you are, not everybody I presume may be able to come here, but let's start with those who can make it here. Listen to me. Don't be emotional about this. Responding to an altar call should be done consciously with an understanding that I am ready to make it right with Jesus Christ. I know that there's someone here once you heard me teach, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace was moving over your mind that your life can be better than it is. The eternal life that Jesus brought you have not yet received. The peace that he brings you have not yet received. The joy that he brings you have not yet received. Even the mandate that has been allotted to your destiny, you have not received. The journey starts right here. It starts with you. I'm going to count one to five. As many who are saying, Apostle, I want to make it right with Jesus. All who are dedicating your life, I want to be wrong. Not just now. Come and cry before Jesus, let it be from the depth of your heart. Don't kneel because of space. Go ahead. One.
No other name, like the name. There's no other name, like the name. No other name, like the name of Jesus. He's worthy of the He's worthy of power and strength.
Two, someone is coming. Let's celebrate them as they come. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Apostle, I need Jesus. This Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer. Keep clapping as they come. Young and old. Men and women. There is always room at the cross. Listen. While they are coming, many people say, responding to an altar call means you are willing and prepared to relinquish your ways and to receive it. It's not just an emotional response to Peter's sound. Calling to Jesus has an implication that you are saying, I trust your way more than my own way, and I'm willing to lay down everything and embrace your life. This is what this is going to do.
My
brothers and my sisters, I want to thank you. Thank you for the courage you have to stand before Jesus. And for someone who is following, whether by television, you're watching from the internet, I want you to know that this business of Jesus is not just a church thing.
He desires that all men, that includes you, to be saved and then to come home to the knowledge of Jesus. And I'm challenging you that as I read these precious words, to pray that prayer of salvation. Join them right where you are. I may not be there, you may not see me, but Jesus is here with you. And I'm grateful to all those who are standing and seeing those at the overflow who are standing. Thank you. Thank you for responding to that call. For all of you who are responding to this call, can I request that you leave your right hand? I have moved your head as a sign of surrender. Then say this after me as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I am heard to walk. I believe in Jesus as the Son of the Living God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus alongside his life in my heart, and I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. From tonight, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these precious ones. They have come declaring your Lordship over their lives. And the Bible says, as many who will come to you will in no wise cast away. I decree and declare by the authority of Scripture that your sins are forgiven, and that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. The grace to live the victorious Christian life is imparted upon you. And I declare that this is a new beginning for you from tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And dear friends, I want to thank all of you. While we clap for you, appreciating God for your life, there are counselors waiting the clapper. Please let me request that you just follow them. They will have a word with you, they will pray with you. I understand there are things that have been given to you. Please let me request that you kindly treat it as legendary as you can, and then return it. Let's honor them as they go. Everyone. This is the best we can do. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet for that people. Let me speak about your life. I come in the name of that Jesus, the one who is Savior, the one who is King, the one who has called us and given us this apostleship, in the name that is above all names. Everything that is inconsistent with the blessings that come with knowing Jesus, I command you to live your life now. I command you to live your destiny now. Let sickness live your life now. Let demonic oppression live your life now. Let failure live your destiny now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare and declare that everything that needs to happen to your life to help you express the reality of this life you have received, let it come speedily. If it is favor, let it come speedily. If it is breakthrough, let it come speedily. If it is divine help, let it come speedily. No one who has been part of this conference will have a reason to say it does not pay to serve people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare and declare that everything Jesus died to give that is yet to find expression in your life, everything he gave his life for that is yet to find expression in your life, beginning from tonight, manifest it. The wisdom that came with Jesus, manifest it. The grace that came with Jesus, manifest it. The power that came with Jesus, manifest it. He fulfilled his assignment, you will fulfill your own assignment. In the name of Jesus, Jesus has helped us. May you have helped us. Listen, until his assignment was over, no one would kill him. I also pray for you that in the name of Jesus, you will not die while in charge. The power orchestrated by hell to take your life that you will not see the end of this year, we shut them out of the grave for your head. In the name of Jesus, and touching the wisdom of Jesus, he needed supplies
and he did not lack. He didn't have a treasurer. I pray for you. The spirit of poverty that is crippling your finances, leading you to shame and reproach, so you do not have the liberty to serve. By the grace of God, let supplies come to you. Let supplies come to you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. If you need to come to a job, may you find that job. If you need to come to business, go and prosper. If you need to come to your investment, may it multiply. By all coming in, I declare you shall not want. You shall not want. You shall not want. You shall not want. In the name of Jesus. Everyone who is a part of this local assembly and this great church family, I agree with all the graces here represented, and in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, they that be planted in the house of God, that they will flourish in the courts of our God, that even in old age they will be fat and flourish. Therefore, I declare flourish. Go forward, advance, make progress. You and your children, you and your spouse. Victory over victory, lifting over lifting, breakthrough over breakthrough, in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you, may the Lord increase you, in Jesus' mighty name we pray.